I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
The Red Mist Podcast, Season 3, Episode 29, the 1979 Arrows A2 Ford Cosworth Formula One car. That's badass.
Yeah,
that's, no wing, that's good. And that car worked. Mm-hmm. Driven by Ricardo Patrese in the picture. Fantastic. That's when teams could rock up and do Formula One without having to pay extortion fees.
Yep.
All right. On tonight's episode, we'll discuss NASCAR at Indy. We'll discuss Formula One at the Hungaroring. IndyCar at Toronto. And we'll have news and notes.
Yeah.
All right, so let's start with NASCAR. less than full house at Indianapolis Raceway in Indianapolis. Allegedly 70,000. I'm not quite sure it was that, but anyways.
What's the Indy 500?
300.
Okay.
And there's 300,000 there.
No. I couldn't remember if it was like 500 or something.
No, it's not
500.
No, it's like 300. I mean, the infield would have to be completely packed.
No, COTA was 400.
That was for the weekend.
Over the weekend?
Yeah.
That's what the...
Yeah. Okay. This was 70,000 Sunday.
Yes.
All right. Because I don't even know if they got 2,000 people the rest of the weekend. Anyways. Just kind of flip over to Xfinity. Congrats to SVG, fourth place finish. Good job there. Mm-hmm. All right. I think they probably had more people at Indianapolis Raceway Park on Friday night.
Yeah.
Than they had at the Speedway on Saturday. That's just my thoughts. Anyways, let's get back to the Verizon 200. Verizon, they couldn't even have Will Power there. It'd be the honorary, guy. Because he was racing. Mm. And to say that nothing changed. I was hoping for a better race, and no, it was still a crash fest. We still had left rear tires blown off for no reason, similar to what we had 4 or 5 years ago when they ran the oval. So overall, nothing changed. We came down to overtime. I don't even want to go into the gory details of the race because it was just so mind-numbing. It was ridiculous. We come down to the end of the race, and Keselowski's on pole for the restart and has to pit because he's out of fuel.
Right.
So Larson moves up, as they do. And he's next to Blaney, and basically off they go. They sail into turn one, and we have another crash.
Fantastic.
So we line back up again and come down, and away we go. And we all get through turn one this time, but we have a spinner on the back straight. And instead of throwing the yellow flag because NASCAR thought the car was going to move, they let him race all the way around. And then threw it at the checkered, so at the stripe, thereby negating the race, ending the race, freezing it, and throwing the yellow. Basically, robbing the fans of a shootout.
Well, are the fans robbed because they didn't adhere to the rules, or are they actually robbed because of how you think racing should be in NASCAR?
Two things should have happened. This is what should have happened. Either let it go and the guy sits there, you know, potluck if they come around the corner, or just throw the yellow. Because you threw the yellow every other friggin' time, and they didn't. So that was where the inconsistency came in.
No,
that's what Blaney was upset about.
Yes.
Blaney was also upset that Larson moved up, but I'm like, I'm not 100%. That's the rules. That's the way it goes. All right. So you feel it. Regardless of where it was, Blaney was going to get passed.
I'm definitely on the same page of it was they should have thrown the yellow just for consistency purposes. Yeah. If you're saying that they robbed them of a race ending, being an outside fan, I don't care if the race ends under yellow.
Well, I do, because I don't like it when it ends under yellow.
Again, it's NASCAR. Whatever you want to make. Again, get rid of running 400 miles and just do 5-mile sprints. That's all you need to do. That's all you ever show up for.
Well, they're not. Yeah, I mean, they're really, it's 100-mile sprints because it's segmented. So
no. It is. Like, if we're going to segment it, just make it five miles and be done with it. Like, days over very much a lot quicker.
So what you're saying is have the start, run 5 laps. Right?
No, 5 miles.
Oh, run 5 2-laps.
So two bigger tracks, 2 laps, smaller tracks, maybe
would you 10 laps. I would make them come in and do 1 pit stop, just so people can see the pit stop teams, you know.
And no pit speed limit.
No pit speed limit, and the crews have to go out.
Actually, you know what? No. You can still do qualifying, but qualifying is you go out lap, first time lap, come in, pit, no speed limit, and then go back out like how they did.
But then in the race, I still want in the race. I want no speed limit in the race, and I don't want
get rid of the pit stops
and no safety gear. I don't want any safety gear on these guys either. This way they'll be more they'll pay attention.
Or how about this? Everyone will save a lot more money if they just do this. Put everyone's name into a hat, pick it out, and whoever's name is picked, they win.
Yeah. We could,
and then they go in the playoffs.
That's pretty much how it goes.
Yeah, and then you just and then you take that hat and then continue. Yeah. You dwindle down the numbers, and then
I don't know. It wasn't much to it.
I would like to get into oval racing, but this is not the oval racing I want to watch.
Oh, you're better off watching sprint cars.
Yeah,
because there's no segments. There's heat races, then they have a 25 lap final, and it's hang it out and go.
Right.
And you're going for like $27,000 to $50,000. I mean, that's well worth it.
Yeah.
I'd rather watch that. It's much more entertaining. 100% agree.
Anyways.
I disagree that this is a crown jewel race. It was the first year it ran there, way back when. Yeah. This is just another race. Okay.
With how many races there are in the calendar?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. Just,
I mean, when I look at the crown jewel race, it's just the 500, the Daytona 500.
Yeah.
That's it. As they always say, they start the season off with the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. That's the crown jewel. Everything else is just racing, you know. Quote Steve McQueen. Anyways, so that was exciting. Next up, we have the Federated Parts 400.
Richmond.
Richmond. Oh. Does this mean we're on a... Oh, no, we're not. We're back next week because we have Formula One.
What do you mean?
Well, everybody's on break now.
Well, we'll...
next week.
Yeah, after this weekend.
NASCAR doesn't return until August 11th.
Checking.
We are checking.
Oh yeah, they
yeah.
NASCAR's not on this week. Yeah, so it is just F1 this weekend.
It's just F1.
Yeah.
F2, F3. And Porsche Super Cup.
Checking.
Maybe. All right.
Checking.
Will they be racing in Europe while this is going on?
Hold on.
Now Formula One. This is the season break. This is when this happens.
Okay. Hold on. Well. Actually, yes, there is racing going on after next week.
What's that?
Or, I'm sorry. First weekend of August.
Yeah.
IMSA is running at Road America.
Thank God.
And MotoGP is at Silverstone.
Oh, okay. MotoGP is running in Europe while the Olympics is going on.
Yes.
That's good.
In right. Britannia.
Thank God IMSA's running.
Yeah. And but the weekend after that.
And that race will be on Peacock.
the weekend after that, 10th and the 11th, I have nothing on the schedule.
Yeah.
Or actually, no, I'm sorry. The 10th and the 11th is Richmond. My bad.
Yeah, but it's still like...
But NASCAR has 2 weeks off.
2 weeks off. I mean, what are these guys going to do? I mean, outside of Larson, who's got about 42 sprint car races to do.
I know. Yeah, I guess just to get the TV guide for this weekend, it's just F1 this weekend.
With support races, right?
With checking.
Oh, I can pull it up on the trusty app. Hold on.
I'm getting there.
Hold on.
Didn't have this one ready.
Ah, sorry.
Spa.
Yeah.
Actually, I should have looked up, yes, F1, F2, and F3, and Porsche Cup.
Ah, so it's a banged out weekend there.
Yes, it is.
All right. When we get there, can you just double check to see if there's any rain in the forecast for this weekend? All right. Let's just do a quick recap on the standings while we go into our what 3 week break. Is this or is this 2 week break, Christian? 2 week, 3 week, 2 week.
I'm sorry.
How many weeks are we off for?
What are
NASCAR?
NASCAR is off for 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
We're not talking F1 now. We're still recap. Right. We're finalizing NASCAR.
I'm doing the standings, the standings recap because yes. I know people want to get this marked in their calendar for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Larson still leads by 10. Oh, and then we have. Then you have to factor in the stage points. Oh my God. Anyways, never mind. Oh God, I can't stand this. Over Chase Elliott, Tyler Reddick, great job again. Finished fourth, third, second. Sorry, this race. Denny, just awful this weekend. Still third, but locked in. Blaney, he's locked in. Byron's locked in. All right, Truex had a horrendous race. I mean, all sorts of problems, and he's seventh, still leading the non-point getters, non-win locked in guys. Followed by Bell, Bad Brad, Bowman. Those guys are all locked in. Then we have Gibbs, who's not locked in. Buescher, who's not locked in, who should be locked in, but he got taken out. We'll discuss that. Ross Chastain. Then we have Bubba. And then Logano. And last is Chase Briscoe. And he's not locked in. But he's in the top 16. Then we have Suarez locked in. Austin Cindric locked in. That's it. Everyone else has got zero. All right. Off to Richmond in 2 weeks. Wow, 2 weeks without NASCAR. God save America. All right, that's awesome. All right, let's go to Indy. I'm IndyCars in Toronto. Tire weekend domination by Team Andretti or Andretti Global, or whatever they want to be.
Well, but it's global domination. That's right, what they
it
did.
It was global domination.
They went outside of the U.S. and they won.
Yes, they did. Fair point. They dominated every session, so I don't even want to talk about it. I mean, it was kind of a weird stat that Colton led every practice sessions qualifying in the race, except for five laps in the race.
So it was almost the Grand Slam.
Almost the Grand Slam. Kirkwood, great job this weekend as well. He was the wingman, but he was there in case problems struck. And he also did a great job of kind of being the defending. And he was kind of torquing McLaughlin off, which was kind of cool. Until Scotty Mack.
Down under crying.
Yeah, but I'm going to give it to Power and say that move was right because McLaughlin ran wide in that corner.
Mm-hmm.
And Power had passed two cars there previously.
Throughout
his career at Toronto, has made that pass.
Yep.
So I think Scotty Mack moved over slightly towards the end of that move.
I mean, the penalty was not incorrect.
Right.
So, I mean, you still got to make the move stick.
Stick, yeah.
But
anyway,
it was a good move or idea at least.
Great move. And then in that, this is awesome. This is like Penske on Penske on Penske crime. Mm-hmm. Newgarden was caught up in that melee as well. So that was fantastic.
Yep.
Team cheat. At least.
Whoa!
Whoa!
Be careful with that. His words.
Yeah, his words. Team cheat. The two cheat cars in team cheat were knocked out of the race. Anyways, although Newgarden did finish ahead of Power, but that was only because of the drive-thru.
Yeah.
All right. Then...
right. I think that... Did Newgarden finish in the top 10?
He finished 11th.
Okay. Graham so, beat him. So it went from three Penske's cars in the top 10 yes. to none.
Yeah. So kind of... I have no... I'm fine. I'm a big Team Penske fan, but ever since the push the pass fiasco, I'm kind of leery. Okay. His words.
Yeah.
Yep. Shout out to Chip and Team Ganassi. all of their cars started way back.
Yeah.
Way back. Somehow they get to. Again, this is where strategy comes in IndyCar. Somehow. They got three cars into the top five.
Mm-hmm.
Dixon, Pillow, and Armstrong. Pillow was on damage control from the start of the race because he just was trying to make up many points. And we'll get to what allowed him to come up front. But fantastic job by Ganassi. Fantastic job by Andretti. It was well done to both teams. Mm-hmm. Colton did a great job running the race. Props to Kirkwood for being a team player. Basically, I think that all came down to if you got beat in the pits, that's how that race was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Simple that. Or if Colton made a mistake on track.
Yeah.
Meaning if he ran wide and Kirkwood took it, tough luck. That's mm-hmm. the way it goes, but that's racing. Unlike somewhere else this weekend. Anyways, Marcus Armstrong, fifth. Well done. David Malukas, sixth place.
And great job. Continuing to prove McLaren wrong.
Yes, which is fine. My only thing with that whole thing was that I think David should have been a little more cautious.
Yeah, in his training. I mean, I say that with a grain of salt because it was self-inflicted to some extent. It was
self-inflicted, but yeah.
But anyways, the way this season has played out.
Yep. Good job.
Yeah.
Anyways, Christian Lundgaard was seventh. Rinus VK 8th, Romain Grosjean with a 9th place finish, and Graham Rahal 10th.
I would say good race for Grosjean, but also a bit disappointing since he started 5th.
Yes. I will say this, Graham, great job.
Yep.
Pretty much started 8th,
finished 10th.
Finished 10th, but again, for that team that's well done.
Yeah.
Lundgaard started 16th.
Well, okay, hold on. If you're gonna tip your hat to Ganassi again, three cars in the top five.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, three cars in the top five for Ganassi, and all the cars and from third, Dixon started 15th, finished third. Pillow started 18th, finished fourth. Armstrong finished 13th, started 13th, finished 5th.
Malukas started 6th, finished 6th.
Yeah.
Uneventful.
Just doing his job.
Yeah. Lundgaard, Rinus with a great job.
Yeah.
And then Graham, like I said. Then we had the Penske fiasco. Linus Lundqvist, 24th to 13th. Mm-hmm. Teo, 26th to 7th, filling in for...
No, 26th to 14th.
Oh, it's 26th to 14th. Sorry.
Sorry, he's filling in for Rossi.
Yeah, filling in for Rossi. That was car number 7. Yes. Sorry. Teo, so he's filling in for... filling in for us. Toby Sowry, 21st to 15th. Great job there.
Just hopefully gets staying back. Out of trouble.
Let's see. The rest of these guys are all cut up.
After that, that's just 11 retirements.
Yeah. After that, from Scotty Mac down, it was all retirements. Holy. Oh, well, no.
I'm sorry, 12.
Yeah, 12?
12 retirements.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, 12 retirements. Power is running. So, wow. All right, and then we had Scotty Mac, was in his own thing. Then Pato was involved in a big thing on a spin. He spun, and then it was just a pileup.
Yeah.
And I'm 100% with Pato on this, that there should have been yellow flags flying on that one. And there was a local yellow, but that thing should have went constantly.
I mean, well...
Santino ended up on his head.
Pato would have been fine, but if you have waving yellows, the expectation is you are slowing down, yeah. And
guys weren't.
Cautious. But yeah.
Santino put it into the fence and then on his roof.
Again, that's... at some point with these guys, it's on the drivers to be...
Did he not see the yellow? I don't know. Anyways. All right. So that's that. Next up. Oh, again, here we go. Here we go, people. Our vaunted fans. I love you. We love you. Just stay with us. We will not see IndyCar until August 17th.
Oh, yeah.
August 17th. Oops. And then this. Here we go. Then we go. This is awesome. We go the 17th, the 25th, and then a doubleheader at Milwaukee. The 31st and 1st. And this is on top of these guys finishing up like a string of what did they do? Three in a row here? Four in a row? They went to Mid-Ohio. Right? Yeah, they went to Mid-Ohio. Then they did the doubleheader, and then they went to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
four races in three weekends.
Yeah, and then they got four races in three weekends again. I mean, these crews must be exhausted. Will be exhausted. And they're traveling, this is even better. They're going from Indianapolis to Madison, Illinois. No big deal.
Yeah.
All right, that's fine. But then we got to truck everything to Portland. All right? For the weekend on the 25th.
Yes, sorry.
Then we have to truck everything back.
To Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm. Like, how about this? You got 3 weeks off. Go to Portland first. Then truck the stuff down there. You can take, they could send...
Stop applying logic to the situation. Right. You're getting yourself in trouble.
Okay, I'm going to get myself in trouble. All right, let's go to the standings. Things have tightened up. It's very exciting.
Slightly.
So Pillow has enhanced his gap.
Yes.
So he is now 49 points ahead of Will Power. However, Will is only now 4 points ahead of...
Mr. Consistency,
who is only 4 points ahead of Colton Herter, who was, after Indianapolis, was like in 10th place. So, well done, Colton.
And had Colton finished Indy, different story.
Yeah.
Well, he would probably be second by now.
And he has leapfrogged Pato, who is, again, here we go, mired. Well done, McLaren. Scotty Mack is kind of treading water at 328. Kirkwood's closing in on him. He's 14 behind. Then we have the huge gap. So I have to think Pillow controls it. But I would say from second to fifth is up for grabs.
Yeah.
And if Kirkwood gets hot, he could take six from McLaughlin. So... Anyways, so very interesting. But Pillow, great job by Ganassi again, getting drivers up into the points again. This is they should be congratulated on that. So well done, boys. Chip Lakes winners. All right, let's move on to F1. Oh God.
Sorry, just one more point on
IndyCar.
For as dominant as Pillow has been,
he's struggled lately.
No, he out of 12 races, he's only got 2 wins.
Yeah, it's just been consistent top finishes.
Yeah. I mean the 2, 4, 6.
The problem is he struggles. I mean, he struggles on the ovals. That it's just the ovals aren't his sweet spot yet. That's it.
We've had 7 different winners and between
It doesn't matter. The fact that you named 7 different winners is truly, speaks to the series. It's awesome.
You mean like Formula One?
Oh yeah. Well, they did have.
They do have 7 different winners now.
All right.
Let's move.
Let's get to F1 in the Hungaroring. Well done to Lewis, because he was Mr. Consistency all weekend. I'm just going to leave it there.
That's where he's been with that Mercedes all season.
So I'm going to leave it there.
Well, I shouldn't say all season, but that's where he's been lately.
Max and the two Ferraris struggled.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so leave it there. I'll leave that there. Sergio somehow recovered the seventh. I have no idea.
Yep.
But anyways, Yuki, I think, deserved driver of the race, but they probably gave it to one of the McLaren boys.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I really got for that. Now, let's talk about the race. All right. I'm happy for Pastrana, Piastri. I think, you know, he's on the cusp. He had shown that he'd be on the cusp for winning races. Same with McLaren and Norris overall. However, this weekend, this was a garbage win.
Yeah.
Okay. And the reason I say that is, if you're going to pit Norris with the expectation that he's going to undercut, because he's undercutting Hamilton, okay, you didn't see that he was going to undercut Piastri?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I don't care where Piastri started, but if you get passed in the pits, anything. And I don't know if Piastri's pit stop was slower or faster than Lando's. The point being, he got beat out of the pits. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Lando went out, turned a fast lap, cut the distance down, protected against Hamilton, and caught Piastri. For McLaren to come back and say that you're going to switch that around was a joke. And the other thing being that Norris started on pole. He got beat off the line, fair and square. Almost got beaten by Max, down there. So he was definitely slow off the line. But just because, you know, he passes the guy in first place in the pits, and because the strategy they called for him was right, but it just, you know, it was a two, you know, he passed two cars in the by undercut. You take the win away from him?
Yeah. Trying to find the lap by lap thing.
I mean, I like Piastri, I like Norris, but it was garbage what they did. And let's for sake's purposes here, if Norris loses by 7 points or whatever, yeah, you know, even if he loses by less than 8 points right now, the driver's championship,
oh, yeah, they got no one to blame
but themselves. No one to blame but themselves. Mm-hmm. And if I was Norris, I'd be like, you got to be kidding me. And for them to go, it's bigger than you, it's the team. I'm like, that is garbage.
Yeah, no.
You know, I'm sorry. But this is McLaren. Like, now, we've had Shady McLaren on an IndyCar now, outside of the whole thing with Kyle Larson. The rest of their season, it's been Shady McLaren dealings. And then we have this shadiness. So, where's the start? Right at the top. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, Zach, it's on you. Those are my words, not his. My words.
Yeah, I mean, I'm...
Max had a bad car and bad strategy all weekend. I mean, as much as he complained about it was just a bad weekend.
I would definitely land more on the strategy end of that race. Like, I know he was trying to fight his way back up and made mistakes of his own, but...
Well, when the strategy puts you behind. I mean, is why
he's getting he's getting desperate.
Because he's not getting help from his teammate. I know. Okay?
I agree.
Like, I get how science is keeping it together because he's got nothing to lose. Okay? He's done at the end of the year. But if I'm Leclerc, I'm going out of my freaking head with these guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, this. I love Fred, but this is still the same clown show under Bonato. Who's coming back? I don't even want to discuss that.
The only thing I will say is I saw that news and I was like, oh, all right, cool. Did not realize they sacked Seidel.
Yeah. So, Michael, if you're looking. They don't have. Did they pick Who did they? The guy they picked up is just he's not running. Who's the guy they clipped from F1?
That also got dropped with Slider?
No. Andretti picked up the guy from F1. One of Ross Braun's guys.
Oh.
But, I mean, if Pat, you put...
Wasn't it Pat Simmons?
Oh, it was Pat. I think it was Pat Simmons.
Yeah.
But if you pick up Seidel and you put him with Pat Simmons, I mean...
I know.
And have Andreas run the race like he's the guy at the race, I mean...
Well, which when I initially saw them announce Binotto coming back,
yeah,
it didn't
sound... say anything like Seidel. It thought everything was the same.
Yeah.
So then, but the guy above Seidel is out too.
Yes.
Like, what is going on there?
I don't.
You guys gonna put the for sale sign up, and Michael's gonna come in and buy it? Looks like it. Anyways. Well, Fred's got all his buddies back in the paddock now.
I know.
Except for Gunther.
Yeah, but he's
oh, but he's in there because of media.
Yeah.
So
he's there.
Yeah, wow. Max, it was a bad weekend.
I guess the incident.
Oh,
God. I'm just going to say it was a racing incident and frustration.
I'm going to leave it at that, too.
So, I mean, like, it is what it is. Like, both of them could have done better at that point. Actually, I do want to harp on lap one, turn one. I don't think Verstappen...
I'm not going to harp on you with that, because we discussed this before the show, and I agree with you
100%.
I'll let you have your say.
Whoever put pavement outside of turn one... on the exit there,
yep.
That's their fault, not the driver's fault, because how that whole incident went into turn one there, Piastri went wide, forces Lando wide, forces Verstappen wide.
Lando held the middle line going into turn one.
Yeah.
The fact that that Piastri was down on the inside, but you didn't expect him coming through.
Look, Piastri missed the apex.
Yep.
And ran a little wide. So for Lando to not hit his teammate,
yep.
He had to go a little wide.
And
did so safely as well.
But
and
Max out.
And Max committed but saw that Lando was not moving in any further.
Max was ahead of Lando on the outside.
I know.
Just because we have those people that's how we judge things. But anyways, all three drivers reacted in a safe manner, okay? And the runoff there... was exactly as it was intended to be to ensure that a car did not crash.
Yeah.
The fact that Max passed Lando, so be it.
It's chaos at the start, and that's what it is.
And it should have been left.
However, this weekend at Spa, you try doing that, you're in the gravel.
Yes, because they have the gravel on that side.
So now you will see the consequences of if that happens, which I don't think it will, because the run isn't as long at Spa.
We'll get to Spa in a second, but just on the point front, Max is 76 ahead of Lando. Lando is 27 ahead of Leclerc. Sainz is 8 behind Leclerc. Piastri now 5 behind. Hamilton 24 behind in 6th. Sergio is 1 behind Mercedes. God knows how. I have no idea. And then Russell at 116, and then we just massive drop off from there. Let's just take a quick peek at the constructor standings, because this is where it's of more interest. I don't really see much of a change in the driver thing. I think after we get by the after we get by the 2-week break or 3-week break, I think it's going to be a different story with Red Bull. Although, anyways, so on the constructor side of the fence, we're at 51 points separates Red Bull from McLaren.
And this is McLaren actually in second now. They've leapfrogged Ferrari.
And a massive amount of those points are due to Max. On the Red Bull side.
Yes.
Okay. So Sergio, it's either put up or shut up. I think it's Spa. If he doesn't do it, he's out. And they're going to have to. And if they bring Yuki up, so be it. He's been much more consistent than Sergio.
Yes.
All right?
Yep.
So, and then you can put Liam in the car and get the same thing. But, I mean, Checo is either put up or shut up. Ferrari 16 back of McLaren. Mercedes is, I think they're just locked in the fourth. I just don't see them getting anywhere beyond that.
It's going to take a consistent basis of being ahead of Ferrari for them to even claw that back in.
I mean, Carlos is definitely going to be looking to finish strong for the season. Leclerc has got a rebound, so because whether he likes it or not, he's not the number one driver next year.
Yeah.
So, more importantly, in the mid pack, it's still RB and Haas. I mean, Haas is six behind RB.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then everybody else is, you know, kicking around. So. Anyways, so we're off to Spa next week. As we look towards Spa, I'm expecting an engine change for Max.
Yeah.
They'll take the grid penalty, and they will go with... they'll do what they did before.
Yeah.
And run everybody down.
And because, I mean, I had a thought on them. Earlier today of, well, maybe you leave the engine in there because at this point you might want to take the points now if you can get them and you know you have a strong package going into the race.
Uh-huh.
However, the next couple of races are kind of track position and engine dependent, so you would like a fresh engine for all that. So Spa is definitely the track where you can make up spots if you do this. Based on the last couple of years of dominance, this track really does suit the Red Bull based on history.
Yeah.
However,
we'll see.
McLaren could also show up with a car.
It could also rain heavily and Mercedes wins after two laps.
So, forecast.
Oh, yeah.
Friday is 50-50.
Yeah.
During the day. Saturday, it looks like it'll be a wet qualifying.
Okay.
And then Sunday looks pretty bone dry.
Okay.
So we'll might get a mixed up grid anyways from qualifying on Saturday, and then and then we'll have a race to go on Sunday.
Excellent.
Actually, you know what? Saturday we'll have all the support races in the rain.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Won't there be some on Sunday?
Checking. Huh. Come on.
When you get done with this.
Full schedule. Why can't they make this easier? Sunday, yes, there are support races in the morning.
Morning?
Yep. But we will get, some support races on Saturday as well.
All right. So... just before we move on to something, I found this little article that last weekend Porsche had its young driver, North American driver thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which I think Pat Long heads up.
Mm-hmm.
I know like they had Dane Cameron and Matt Campbell there. But it was just kind of, you know, this shit, like the list of drivers isn't as notable as it has been in the past. But I didn't realize this. Did you know that Austin Cindric won this?
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
He's graduated from the program.
Oh, that's cool.
That's wild. Huh. Anyways, all right, moving on. Just something there. All right, news and notes here. The Valkyrie
Yes, Aston Martin
was Falcon. Officially found on track at both Silverstone and Donington.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty cool to see that.
For the hypercar, so that'll make an appearance.
Hypercar GTP.
Make an appearance in.
Is that a hypercar or is it?
It's an LMH.
So
it's a hypercar.
So what's it going to be running in IMSA then? GTP. Is it? Yeah, but that's LMD. Most of those cars are LMDH, right?
All of those cars are LMDH minus the Alpine.
But the Alpine hasn't run except at Daytona.
Correct.
Because the Lamborghini is an LMDH.
Yes.
All right. So the first full season entry for an LMH car is going to be the Valkyrie.
Mm-hmm. Unless
Ferrari.
Someone else decides to.
Decides that they're going to run. All right. Okay. Good news there. In the world of WEC, they're going to announce today that they're going to be running a 3-day test at COTA, which is their next race, so that'll probably be towards the end of August when everything arrives. Matteo Bonato. That's the big news right there.
Okay.
Here we go. See what else we got. Just kind of cruising through. Nothing.
Oh, that Speed Tour weekend at Lime Rock.
Yes.
I want to give a shout out to Christian Zardecki for winning.
Oh, did he win the Mazda race?
He won the Mazda race. I know he won the first race. I think he finished second in the second one.
Was that the SCCA? Or was that the Lime Rock Mazda Club? You know how they had the Lime Rock Mazda Club?
Because
I know Christian runs SCCA, so maybe it was the SCCA.
Congratulations
to Christian.
But yeah.
Was it one race or two?
It was
one
two.
Two races?
Yeah, he won the first one, and I think he finished second in the second one.
So he was the overall winner, if they did it based on points.
I don't know who the other guy was. I mean, regardless. Yeah.
It wasn't Connor Zilich, was it? No. He did win the ARCA race, though.
Yeah, he did.
Sorry. Was it the ARCA race or the truck race? ARCA race he won. Sorry. Forgot about that.
Yeah.
Anyways, that always cracks me up.
So that was good local news.
Yeah. Tough. Congratulations to Christian.
For those who don't know, he used to race go-karts. So we used to race go-karts
against him.
But yeah.
All right. I think we should probably move on to our picks for the weekend.
Hmm.
Lead
off with Nate.
Who? All right, wait a minute. Before we do anything, we have to send a congratulations to Nate.
Oh, yes. Yes, we do.
Let me
pull up the specifics.
Yeah, before I get this wrong and I get Nate like calling in. there's a reason he's been AWOL.
Yeah.
And it's a fairly good reason.
Yeah.
Is it better to look on him on Facebook
or Instagram?
Of course, I went to Facebook and I got Meta coming up.
No.
Get away.
It's the same thing.
I know. I hate that.
Meta AI.
Did Jordan Taylor get engaged this weekend?
I have no idea.
I don't know. Just
I know. I saw that post.
His lady friend did.
Yep.
And, she has a ring.
Do you need, okay, Nate.
Did you find it?
Yes. So, via via the source of Nate Lavender, he has he has passed his final exam and is now awaiting his first ship assignment. As he is going to be an ordinary seaman, okay. OS.
So
for 60 days for phase two of apprenticeship.
Right. So Nate decided to become
an
able-bodied seaman.
Yes.
Is the best way to describe it. And he's done it the hard way.
Yep.
Instead of going to a maritime academy,
mm-hmm.
he's decided to go through this program at, what, do you have the school
yep, he was at? It's the Paul Hall Center for Maritime Training and Education.
Right. So this is something that you would go to, say you went to college and you wanted to get into the Merchant Marine, mm-hmm. you know, without going to the Merchant Marine Academy. So like Mass Maritime, Maine Maritime, or New York, it's King's Point. And if Nate's dad's listening to that, I know those schools. Nate's decided to do it this way. And this is something you would do. Like if you're at college, after you got out of college or high school and you didn't want to get into all that, you go to this program. So congratulations to Nate. So mm-hmm. he's awaiting his assignment.
Yes. And then, so once he does, and then
would he be placed in charge of a boat coming out of Baltimore?
Look, he'll be on a ship. I don't know what he needs to avoid, but yeah, they'll do that thing.
We're kind of looking forward to maybe Nate calling in from his ship quarters.
He said he will be sailing out as an ordinary seaman for 60 days for phase two of his
apprenticeship. We don't know when that starts yet.
I think it's soon because I believe he made a note that he'll be back in October-ish timeline. So I'm assuming between now and mid-August. God. So
let's hope not. Can we keep him out there until after the NASCAR season?
he'll be back right in time for the playoffs. Man.
Yeah. All right. So, that'll be fun. But congratulations to Nate.
Yes.
Wish him the best of luck. I know it's... Yeah. Must be crying that we just are not giving his beloved NASCAR its proper due, but
we're
giving it the due that we feel it deserves.
Yes, yeah, so. It is.
All right.
Anyways, Nate got his picks in. He is going for a back-to-back Piastri.
Did he really?
Yes.
He did?
Yes.
He texted you?
Yes, he got these in. I got them on the phone 9 a.m. this morning. In second place, he's got Sir Lewis Hamilton as a runner-up, and in third, he's got Leclerc.
Mm-hmm.
So, and his dark horse is K-Mag.
Is who?
K-Mag.
K-Mag. All right. I'm going to go... I know this is a kiss of death, but I'm going to go Max.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Ferrari 2-3.
Okay.
So, I'm going to go Charles, then Carlos.
Okay.
My dark horse will be Yuki.
All right. I've also gone with a kiss of death on Max to win. But instead of a Ferrari 2-3, I'm going to go with a McLaren 2-3. And they do it in the proper order of Britannia first and Australia.
I gotcha.
Following suit.
But is it on merit?
It does not matter whether it's on merit. We're going to fix the results how we want to finish them because that's how it is. This is bigger than
this is bigger. This is bigger than Barrichello being told to move over from Michael Schumacher when he had the points thing locked up by hundreds of points. So, mm-hmm. All right. So that's that.
Yep.
All right. So with that,
good night. Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.